Greg, how can you use direct marketing's traditional one-on-one selling techniques to sell to all the eBayers looking at your auctions?
There is a lady that lives in another town who hired us actually 2 years ago to sell thousands of books that she has in her home library. Her husband was a book collector of 50 years, and she had about 12,000, 13,000 books, many of which are rare, old, valuable books. And we took on the job of selling those books, and here it is almost 3 years later, and we still have about 3,000 to go. And I know that a used book buyer wants to know very few things. He or she wants to know the title, the exact condition of the book, and whether it's a first edition and first printing or not. Those buyers don't want a lot of extra bells and whistles. And Dan Kennedy is famous for pointing out the fallacy of sellers who say, our customers are different from everyone else. They don't fall for this direct marketing stuff. And I don't want to fall into that trap. But the thing is, I don't believe I am, because rare book buyers are no different in that they have passions, they have trigger mechanisms that cause them to buy. But at the same time, Dan Kennedy and others would point out that you must know your product and you must know your audience so that you can give those people what they want. And I think that's important as an eBayer. I know my used book audience very well because I used to collect rare books. I know what I wanted as a collector. I know their triggers. I use those triggers in my auction, especially and primarily when the book is very valuable. But I also know that these buyers want a bulleted list of what the book's condition is about. They don't want a bunch of flowery language in order to make a decision. When they click on first edition The Godfather by Mario Puzo, they want to know the condition and the printing right away. So I do think I'm following the principles of direct marketing in that category when I sell to that audience, because I know that audience and I know how to sell to them. I want to talk the way they want to be talked to. And if I were selling a car, I would approach an eBay auction far differently from these rare books that we're mostly selling right now, because I'm talking to a huge range of buyers who might be a teenager's first car. It might be my mother wanting a used car. You know, all these different ranges of people. So I have to address that differently. But as long as you're targeting your buying market, you have to determine who probably wants this item. Then you are using direct marketing principles. I once had an eBay seminar that I was giving a student who, the name happened also to be Michael, by the way, and this Michael insisted, here we go, his customers were different and that all these techniques were far too sophisticated for his buyers. And the sad thing was, he was so fortunate, and he didn't even realize it, because he sold the same items over and over and over. He sold nicotine gum packets for people that want to quit smoking. And he sold them at extremely good competitive prices, I think too low actually. And he had a tremendous item that he could resell over and over and over to the same buyers as they weaned themselves off cigarettes. And I begged him to create a mailing list, and I asked him, why did you even come to my seminar? Because all this valuable information, send out sales reminders to people who bought a month ago and say it's time to re-up your product. Here's a 2-for-1 special this month. Include a bounce back coupon in each box so that they get free shipping the next time that they buy from you.
And he wasn't doing any of it.
He wasn't doing any of it. And he thought that was way too much work. So he slaved to get every single sale, waiting for one auction to end before he started another. And he just wouldn't let me show him how to grow that business. In doing this, it would make his job far simpler.
How was he doing with that market?
He was selling $20,000 of this gum every 3 months.
How much was he making on that?
He was probably paying $4,000 to turn it into $20,000 through a bunch of eBay auctions.
You could estimate he could have been profiting around $15,000 a month?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Doing everything wrong, making his job hard. He was putting up one-day auctions. He would start some before the next ones ended, but he had all this former audience who still needed his product. And after I finally insisted, Michael, once to send out an email to his past buyers to humor me, he was a little bit put out that he had to enter all their names and addresses. I mean, this guy's amazing. And he's a brilliant man. He really is a pretty wealthy guy. I kind of got to know him afterwards, and he's really sharp. But he just didn't think his buyers would fall in line. And his email did fail. And he said, see, there's proof that my buyers are different. And I asked him if I could see his email. It was just horrible. And I rewrote it for him as a favor. And I used a fantastic headline and action words all throughout. And he never sent it.
Wow.
That is such a shame. And I'm no copywriter, And I don't do much very well, Michael, but I did a very good job on this letter. And I shouldn't have done that for him, because if I had charged him for it, he would have sent it out. I shouldn't have done it for him just as a gift. But I thought, you know, I want you to have value from all this that I've taught you. And it's what a shame when he sells the same item over and over, as opposed to what I do, which is mostly sell unique items.
And that's frustrating to you as a consultant, because you don't ever want to work with someone who's just not jazzed the way you are, you know, at the same level you are, because it can be discouraging and it's a pain.
It is a pain, and I would hate to be one of his customers and be thought of as just not worth the effort. You know, I never hear from him again. I've walked into so many places and we've bought things and gotten to know the people and never heard from them again, you know. The big direct marketing, don't use a billboard approach, and this is what we're talking about here. This is what people don't understand. Your auction, in order to grab that buyer, you're not talking to the world, you're talking to one person. And a billboard is like thousands of people are passing by, and you might get 0.5% of the audience looking at it who even cares about what you're selling. And eBay does work like a billboard in one respect. People create auctions that do poorly, but eBay's the world's largest garage sale, as I like to say. And millions of buyers are looking for millions of things. It seems at first like that might be a hard audience to target in on, to write a specific product for a specific person. But everything that's sold on eBay is for a specific audience. Even something like deodorant. If you sell new deodorant, lots of people use it, and so that doesn't seem like a targeted audience. But you need to talk to that buyer who wants that item right at that moment. eBay brings you targeted buyers, and that's the really big cornerstone over everything we've said so far, that you must assume that 99% of everybody who reads your auctions are targeted buyers. You must assume they've already raised their hand to show an interest in your product if they're looking at your page. And think about that, Michael. That's a marketer's dream.
That saves you a lot of money, because most direct marketers have to do a lot of marketing, a lot of direct mail, a lot of emails, and 99% of the people are not your targeted buyers, and you have to spend all that money to find that 1% or 2%. eBay hands it to you on a silver platter.
Hands it to you, and you can count on it with almost 100% certainty that if anyone looks at your auction, and I'm going to prove that here in a second, they have an interest in what you're selling. It might be a slight interest, but they have one. This is an opportunity. Think for a moment, whenever you've bought or sold on eBay, how does someone get to one of your auctions? What's the most popular way, Michael?
They search.
They search. And if you understand that, you understand the most important concept, because here's the bottom line. Let's say you sell camera tripods, you know, little tripods that you put cameras on.
Right.
People who click to see your latest tripod auction, the one that you just wrote and put up there last night to sell, they're interested in something about tripods because the battle has already been done for you. They arrived there because they searched on it. They searched for tripod or photo tripod or photography tripod or camera tripod. They somehow raised their hand and said, I want to find someone who's selling a tripod. You're going, this is wonderful. And your auction has made its way into their search results. And other than luck, and by searching by categories, which really isn't done all that often, really, there's basically no way for someone to stumble onto your auction randomly. They're looking at your auction almost always as a result of wanting something about what you're selling. Your fish is hooked. Your bait has been halfway eaten. And your fish wants to bite, or they would be doing something better with their time.
Kind of like the Yellow Pages.
It is very much like the Yellow Pages, which is another huge area that is totally done wrong, I'm sure you would agree with, in almost every case, because we just recently needed a plumber, and it was amazing. Every single plumber ad is exactly the same. They've all got a picture of a plumber, and they all say, we do great work. Well, how do I know that? We just called the one that seemed to be closest. I mean, there was no other reason to call any other plumber in that whole Yellow Pages. But your auction title is what people search on. So don't worry about grammar. Load it up with keywords. If I were selling a trackball, I've got a trackball that I use. I just love Kensington trackballs. I just really love them. I always use Kensington trackballs instead of a mouse, because I have a cluttered desk and I never have room for a mouse. So a trackball just needs one little tiny place on your desk. And if I were selling a trackball, I would not put in my title, Fantastic Trackball, Look Here, Scroll to Success. I'd never say that. Instead, I would load up with keywords that people might use in a search, like Kensington, trackball, USB port, wireless, 2-inch ball. I load up on these very key words. If it were a USB port trackball, I think USB is important, because a lot of people want a USB mouse, or they want a wireless mouse now. I wouldn't say there's nothing else like it on eBay. I'd be putting these key words, and that's not where my headline would go. So that everyone who looks at my auction probably wants a trackball and probably is interested in a Kensington trackball. So I've got a big buying audience every time they look at my eBay listing. Now, I have a big tip for our listeners now, Michael. An eBay seminar student I once had named Terry will concur. This advice is gold. This Terry actually spent time, effort, and money to sit through the same seminar that I once gave a second time. She came a second time just because of the following tip I'm about to tell you.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Maybe as a direct marketer, you already know about this. You probably sense that there are tools like this out there, but it's called Word Tracker. All one word, Word Tracker, and you can go out there to wordtracker.com. The web address where you can go to is called freekeywords.wordtracker.com. I'm going to spell that. Free Keywords, freekeywords.wordtracker, wordtracker.com. And that's the Word Tracker system.
Okay, I'm there.
This free tool holds the key to improving every title everyone uses on this recording from this point forward on eBay. If you craft your title very well even, you'll still benefit from this tool. Let's suppose that you have a video camera to sell, and it's made by JVC. They make a lot of video cameras. And you look at the manual's long list of features, and you don't know what works best in the auction's title. It's got so many features, you don't know what to put up there. All the good features sound good, but you've only got 55 characters to work with, and you want to find the words that will really get hit in a search result. What I would do is go to freekeywords.wordtracker.com, and I would enter video camera, because that's the most basic, generic description I can think of what I have to sell. And what Word Tracker does is tell you related words used for searches with video camera over the past 30 or 60 days. So we also see digital video cameras as you look through it, hidden video camera. If you happen to be selling a video camera that's real tiny, that might be some sort of surveillance camera, make sure you put the word hidden in there. Don't put surveillance, put hidden, because it brings so many more hits than just video camera or surveillance camera. And so in these results, I'm going to find these amazing words like digital, DVD, JVC, maybe I would have forgotten to put the company name. Features that seem to be important to other people, like CCD, that's a type of lens, I believe. You might be more up on them than I am. CCTV or something like that lens. There are all these special lenses and high-def lenses. Well, I don't really know that that's important to someone, but if you look at your search for video camera, you're going to see CCD is in several of the searches. That's important, and if that's one of my features, that's a word I want in my title, even if I'm not savvy enough to really know all about it. This is the tool that you use, and just go to Word Tracker and type in just the most basic description and just scroll through and find these keywords that maybe you would have overlooked and then write your title. This takes really, when you do it a few times, maybe 3 seconds.
You got to pack as many of these keywords at the highest levels under 55 characters.
As possible, because people might search for hidden camera and come to your site as long as you realize that's a real popular search, or CCD camera. And so this gives you extra keywords. It allows you to get rid of fluff like fantastic camera, and it allows you to put words that people actually search on when they want a video camera.
So this one tip, imagine you're the guy selling the nicotine gum, quit smoking gum, and he's not utilizing this tool. If you could have that intelligence and be able to pack your title with the proper keywords that people are looking for, he could literally just double the sales just by that alone.
Just by that alone, because he would double the number of searches that he would be found in. And so I think it's great. I just did smoking gum, by the way. Smoking gum, maybe I should have done non-smoking gum. I have a feeling that Word Tracker only gives you a total from the last day, the current day. Overture gave you about 30 days worth, because there are only 113 searches that are displayed at the time I do smoking gum. And, well, actually, in the first hit, the words quit smoking is all throughout here. The word quit, I would have never thought about putting that in a search title because it's not a feature. But this tells me people looking for gum to help you stop smoking use the word quit a lot. So I'd better put that in my title. I bet that Michael didn't use it in his title. I'm pretty sure he never did. So that one word alone would put you in more search engines, because people looking for the word quit smoking and your smoking gum never has the word quit in your title, you would not end up in those searches on eBay. And the reason Terry came back is she said she had lost this link to WordTracker. I thought, you could have just used Google and found it, you know, but maybe she really wanted to get some of the other advice too. But this one tip alone was worth her coming back to my seminar a second time. And I agree. I think it's gold.
Learn how eBay power sellers power through profits using eBay. Go to www.ebaymarketingtipsandsecrets.com. That's www.ebaymarketingtipsandsecrets.com.
Yeah, no, that's very valuable. I mean, you could look at markets on eBay where there's maybe just two or three sellers and look at what their titles are, kind of look at their history, see if they're changing them, and you could really compete just with this intelligence.
You could dominate, because most power sellers don't even know about this. And if they knew about it, they wouldn't use it.
We're on the topic of research, and it kind of brings me back to the last question I asked, how to get started. And you talk a lot about a good headline and writing an ad like you're talking to your best friend. And you're an experienced writer. I mean, you are a pro, but for a lot of people who aren't professional writers and aren't as confident, can you give me some research tips that would allow me to maybe find descriptions that I could use and modify that would make my writing of the ad easier, maybe where someone's written one before? Any ideas on, if I'm not as confident as you are, as writing to a friend, how can I get the copy for my eBay auction on there in a simpler way, you know, ethically?
Well, you should do research and look at what other people do, because it will give you ideas. You never want to steal copy. You never want to copy and paste what others write. Not only is it just cheap, even if you get away with it a few times, eBay will take down your listing if someone complains. And if you think about it, buyers and sellers are looking at lots of auctions related to your item. And if you take your copy from what someone sold in an auction that ended a week ago, there might still be bidders looking for that same item who saw that auction. And they might turn you in, because eBay puts on every single auction a little link at the bottom that says, report this item if there's something wrong about it, violating eBay's rules. And at first, and I'll tell you, we sellers were a little bit worried about that link. Not that any of us, you know, on the whole did anything wrong, but that buyers sometimes just out of spite, or just maybe, you know, malicious people that just want to get a bunch of people in trouble, just start reporting a bunch of auctions that may or may not be true. I can tell you personally, that's been up for probably our last 3,000 or 4,000 auctions that we've done under several eBay accounts. We've never had a problem with it. And plus, eBay's pretty smart, too. They know whether an auction violates something or not. So you don't want to steal just because you don't want to get in trouble. But, gosh, I hope that you don't want to steal because it's wrong to do that, and because you can do so much better. Most people listening on our call right now, most people can do far better than their competitors in writing. Here's a tip that really helps, and I have a feeling very few people that I teach this to do it, and I don't know why. If I couldn't write, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would get a recorder, and the first few items that I sold on eBay, I would sit down with a tape recorder or an electronic on your computer recorder, wave recorder or something, and I would act like I'm sitting next to Joe, my neighbor, who I know really well, and telling him all about this laser printer that I'm selling. I say, Joe, and look here, it's got this, and it's got this, and here's what you're really going to like. And I would really try my best. If that doesn't work, and you are truly serious about wanting to be able to get into the practice mode of writing as though you're talking to your best friend, then what you want to do is actually bring Joe over and just record you describing a few things to him. And try to be natural. Try not to think about the recording. Tell him ahead of time what's happening. You're just doing this to practice. I promise you, if you do that and then listen later and type what you wrote, I promise you, you're going to see phrases that you would have never thought about typing that you can stick in your auctions.
I can totally relate exactly what you're saying. You know, I've got an entire product called Audio Marketing Secrets, and it's all based on that principle about writing your copy through talking. And it's called How to Take a $28 Book and Turn It into a $3,900 Information Product. But it really, the foundation is how to create your own copy and how to build value in whatever you're selling. And that would include even in your auctions and how you can use a digital recorder in normal conversation to crank out great copy, great eBay Money Ads. And anyone who's interested can go to the products page on hardtofindseminars.com, and they can look at the products section, and they'll see that how to turn a $28 book into a $3,900 information product. But I think that'd be helpful to any of your listeners. So tell the listeners, why is it so important to write like you talk? Why not hypey headlines, you know, the traditional copy that a lot of people see that you and I know is to be bad? Why normal talk?
Well, once the all-important title is crafted and you're in your description, the most important key in reaching buyers is to talk to the buyers in their language. The most important thing, if someone tries to sell you something and they're aloof, or if you're buying a computer and you're not real computer savvy and they're talking bits and bytes and megahertz and gigahertz, or if you're buying a car and the car salesperson is talking about all sorts of weird options that you don't care about, you just want a car that saves you gas, and he doesn't seem interested in what you want, you're not going to buy that item. And so I, as the seller, I want to talk to, not down and not up, I want to talk to my buyer. And one way that I do that is I use what I call the most important key. I use my buyer's favorite word, which is their name, but I don't know their name. So I use the word you, Y-O-U, constantly. And think about what I'm telling you right now. I mean, does it feel as though I'm talking directly to you? I am. And that's my intent. I want you to know that I have something to tell you that will help you. And if I spoke in third person, Michael, if I never used the word I or you, if I wrote eBay sellers and I write an auction that said, a lot of people looking at this auction will feel that it's, or will like the fact that it's, I'm not talking to anyone. I'm just talking to myself. I'm just talking to a generic third person. And if I keep using the word you, Y-O-U, and I even use it in these real stodgy rare book buyers sometimes, I'll say, you'll just love the fact that it's got this. And I write a newspaper column about eBay, a syndicated column that I write regularly. And one of my readers wrote to me one time, a lady named Sally, and she said she never wanted to sell again on eBay, that everything that I was selling sounded good. I keep the newspaper column fairly simple because I'm always talking to people who are new to eBay and they're not ready for some of these real advanced techniques. But she was tired of listing things and getting no bids. I was trying to be friendly and encouraging, but I said, millions of people don't buy and sell successfully every day. If it's a failure, if it's hard to do, if there's some other reason you're not selling these items, because she told me what she was selling, reasonable things, just used items around her home that should sell. And I looked at a couple of her auctions then, and I called her up, and her auctions were horribly boring. And at first, Michael, it took me a moment to realize why. I mean, I didn't even catch this. She would really, literally use the term the buyer all the time. So she'd be describing a colorful plate that she wanted to sell, and she would actually write, when the buyer bids on this item, the buyer will be bidding on a lovely dish that someone gave to me. And it was all third person. And when I asked her, she told me that in school, she was told never use the word I and never use the word you when you're writing. Do you remember that? I actually, when she said that, remember that too. I was told that.
I don't remember that.
Whoa, I mean, no, it doesn't make your writing sound cheap. Using you when talking to someone makes that person feel special. I mean, at least far more than referring to third person. And I made her break that habit. I said, you must try just a few more options. I won't change any of the wording except I want you to use you and I. She relisted the two auctions that had not gotten any bids before, and both of those sold, and she was just thrilled. And I was on pins and needles because it may have been something that wasn't even worth buying. I mean, I didn't know anything about these dishes, but fortunately they sold. And after telling me about what she learned in school, she'll never follow that rule again. The plates didn't change, only the direction of the word. Now, I like that term, direction of your word. The bidders thought that she was talking to them. There was interaction. They felt that Sally was right there talking to them. And it really did sound so much better. And she wrote me last week again. She's written with a few questions over the last couple of months. She's currently got more than 30 items listed for sale right now. She just loves eBay. That was the only thing she changed.
What's the number one mistake when crafting titles?
In the scores of rare and used books that I've become known for selling quite a time, I made a startling discovery a couple of years ago that increased our bids. And it seems so obvious to me now, Michael, and why it took so long to figure it out just astounds me. It embarrasses me. But it's a good lesson for our listeners to see how the obvious can be staring at us. We were writing keyword-intense auction titles, and I was using Word Tracker and Overture, and if we were selling a book like Sherlock Holmes, the first edition, I would put Sherlock, and I would put Holmes, and I would put the author, Conan Doyle, and mystery and detective in our title. I'd load that thing up with as many keywords as possible. And yet, Michael, and again, it's embarrassing, I omitted the word book in every title. And that means that when someone searched for Sherlock Holmes' book, they never saw my title. Never. What a horrible mistake that the word book, it's a 1,000-pound gorilla sitting on top of me, and I didn't even notice it. And before doing anything else, I strongly encourage you not to make the number one mistake of titles, at least, and that is make sure your title tells exactly what you're selling. People look for Sherlock Holmes' books, but they also look for Sherlock Holmes movies, Sherlock Holmes DVDs, Sherlock Holmes movie posters, Sherlock Holmes games. The people that want the book, those are the people I want to see my auction. So include the most obvious word in your title. Sometimes you forget to do that. Let me give you one more example. Everyone's heard of the book The Hunt for Red October by Tom Clancy?
Sure.
Okay. Here's a real boring title. The Hunt for Red October, Tom Clancy book. That's kind of boring. Doesn't use any words. There's no real grammar there. The Hunt for Red October, Tom Clancy book. Here's a far better sounding title. The Hunt for Red October by Tom Clancy. Great story. That's a lot better sounding title, but it's a horrible title because The Hunt for Red October by Tom Clancy. Great story. Doesn't have the word book in it. And so don't worry about grammar. I know I've stressed this before, but the number one mistake is to not state the obvious. Make sure in all those keywords that you really look for and use Word Tracker for that you also put exactly what you're selling. That's even more important than all those other related items.
Does humor in a listing help things sell better?
Well, once you develop a writing rapport that lets you write listings, once you learn how to write listings that sound as though you're talking to your buyers, you will occasionally think of something funny to put in your listing. And surprisingly, humor is really oftentimes ineffective as a selling technique. And there are lots of reasons for it, but the most obvious is your buyer might think it's funny, but humor is a taste that differs greatly among us, and it's difficult to pull off humor to a large audience. Even to an audience who's raised their hand looking for your item. The problem is that it's difficult to write something that makes most of your readers smile. And so some will think your attempt at humor is dumb, even if it's not. Some will think it's truly funny. But it's the richest buyer looking at your auction. If that buyer doesn't like your joke, then that buyer is going to go somewhere else. That humor may cost you a bid. And so if you're tempted to say something funny, really analyze your auction's tone and the item you're selling and read through your listing and read through it without the humor to see if it makes your selling more effective. It often will. Even read it out loud without the humor and then read that same paragraph with it and see if it helps. Of all the humor possible, using real subtle, dry humor very lightly and sparingly, that's okay. That's effective at times. It kind of puts you as an inside joke with the buyer, and as long as you can keep it dry and subtle, that's fine. But don't overdo it, because even those who would think it's funny will often be the ones who get it, and the rest who don't think it's funny may not even realize it's humor. As long as it's dry, then those who don't even realize you're trying to be funny, they won't be put off by it, if that makes any sense.
So what are some more money-making tips that you don't see in most of the eBay books or videos or seminars that teach people how to buy and sell on eBay?
Michael, I don't know how much you've studied the books and seminars about how to sell on eBay, but most give absolutely none of this material that really matters. They spend a lot of time on how to take good pictures and how to register as a buyer or a seller, and all that's fine, but the ones that do go further and tell their students about the title should be full of keywords even they don't give you tools like Word Tracker. And so if you really want a tip that will squash your competitors' bids, well, I've got one. If you write your description properly, your buyers will want to bid on your auction. And armed with that knowledge that people really have a level of interest, you need to move into a selling mode immediately. Remember how important it is to write as though you're selling to your best friend. That also allows you to write more words. You can write longer auctions. Don't be succinct. Tell everything that you can about that item. Tell everything your best friend wants to know about that item. But here's the gem. Too many sellers rely on features for the actual selling. And you need a features list. For instance, if you're selling electronic equipment or computers, your buyers need to know the speed and how much disk space it has and all of that. But save those features for the bottom of the auction. You want to give the benefits. And this is nothing new in the world of direct marketing. This is direct marketing 101, but for some reason, it's advanced, super advanced eBay. I don't know why people don't promote this. For instance, your cell phone. I just got a new wireless Bluetooth headset the other day. And, you know, if I were selling a Bluetooth-enabled headset for a cell phone, I would not put Bluetooth-enabled in the title, I don't think. WordTracker might show me differently, but I wouldn't even put in the description Bluetooth-enabled. Instead of that, I'd write something like, no more getting down on your knees to plug a cable in the back of your computer. With this phone, when you want to download your computer's address book to your cell phone, you just put the phone next to your computer and let the phone do all the work from there. I mean, that's a lot better than saying Bluetooth-enabled, because I'm describing the benefit of being Bluetooth-enabled. The reader, when he or she sees no more getting down on your hands and knees to plug a cable in the back of your computer from your cell phone, that's gold. I mean, who wants to do that? No one wants to do that. No one in their right mind wants to do that. The funny thing is, almost all cell phones now are Bluetooth-enabled, but that doesn't matter. You still want to put that benefit, not the feature that says Bluetooth wireless enabled, but the benefit that that gives you.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. So give me a couple examples of the benefits.
Well, the Bluetooth was one. Let's say that you buy a computer that has a DVD. Most computers are now sold and they will have a DVD player that reads and writes DVDs. And if you look at an ad for that laptop in the newspaper, it will say DVD plus minus RW. Instead of that, in my auction where I've got lots of words, I might have plus minus RW down at the bottom where someone searching through all of the technical specs about that laptop will know. But up in the auction itself, even though probably every laptop sold new right now today has that, I'm going to say, this laptop lets you write your own DVDs. You can create your own family movies on your DVD. Not only can you play movies that you buy at the store, but you can actually create your own movies, write them on a DVD, and send them to your grandmother, and she can watch your children's videos 200 miles away on her own TV, and you can do it all from this laptop. See, I'm given the results of DVD plus minus RW. I don't care about DVD plus minus RW, neither do my readers. I'm given the results, the features of what's possible.
Very good.
Now, if you really want to know how to leverage that tip, here's how you do it. You lead with your biggest benefit. Now, direct marketers have known this for years, but it's rarely done in eBay, and I have to force myself to do it sometimes because I like to save the best for last. I write a lot of nonfiction items where I'm building up to teaching my reader something at the very end. And when you're selling something, you want to start with the cookies and milk at the very beginning. You want to lead with your biggest benefit. And so as you're writing your auction, you're going to not do a bunch of features maybe at the end, but you want to tell all about what they can do with your item. That's the benefit. What I can do with this, what you can do with this. You want to tell the strengths, the benefits. And then you want to look through that list and put the most important one first. Put the sexiest one first. Put the one most people are really going to like first. If I have a Bluetooth-enabled cell phone, and it is a special kind that allows me to be twice as far away from the computer as all other Bluetooths, then that's a pretty important feature, if not all phones have that. So I'm going to put that closer to the top of the list. So to leverage using benefits over features, always lead with your biggest benefit.
So the hardest part is automatic. You have a targeted buyer looking at your auction. You have a buyer who feels as though you're sitting there next to them, telling them as their friend all about the item. What do you do to turn that interest into real action? How do you convince the buyer to click that all-important Bid Now button?
I'll tell you what I do, and I strongly recommend everyone listening to our conversation that they do the same. I just tell them to bid right now, because I learned a long time ago that if someone isn't told what to do, they often don't do anything. There's a classic selling movie, maybe you've seen it, probably you have, or you've heard of it, called Glengarry Glen Ross. And it had this famous line where Alec Baldwin...
ABC.
Exactly.
Always be closing.
Always be closing. And I'm not a big fan of the movie in general, and I'm not a big fan of Alex Baldwin, actually, but what an amazing line that if you really understand, and you will hear in just a second if you don't now, pay attention to those infomercials that are at 3 in the morning that no one likes, that no one will admit to liking to or to watching. The next time one comes on, and listen to how many times an infomercial says, call now, I mean, they might even say, so dial the number, and you'll hear them say, pick up the phone and call 1-800. And they're saying that over and over and over. And what they're doing is closing the sale. They believe in ABC, always be closing. They're closing, closing, closing. They are putting into the heads of their viewers what we call a call to action. They're implying, look, instead of just sitting there, I'm letting you know what you should do. Call right now. And you can be closing the sale throughout an auction. And this is one I don't do often enough myself. I often forget to do this. And it's so important to get that buyer who's interested to click the Bid Now button. I sometimes must make myself, I put a little post-it note to remind myself. And I sprinkle the phrases, place your bid now, click the Bid Now button, bid now for this item, bid now to get your place in line. And certainly your final paragraph in your auction should begin and end with these types of calls to action. It's subtle, but it's effective, and it moves some of your lookers into action to click that all-important Bid Now button. It moves some of them who might otherwise think, I do need this, but maybe I'll look at other auctions. It will cause some of those people to actually click. And if all you do, Michael, that one thing, if all you do is add the words Bid Now, or perhaps the phrase click the Bid button right now to your auctions, you will see an increase in activity. Your bidders will increase. You will make more money. I mean, that's the kind of tip I really like because I'm lazy. It doesn't require research. It doesn't require writing skills. It doesn't require anything except I just tell my bidder what to do next. And it's a powerful technique that will make you a lot of money.
Any other little secrets that can make our listeners a lot of money?
Here is what you do. Paint a mental picture for your bidder. And that mental picture, the sole purpose will be to place your item into your bidder's hands mentally. And that's it. And it sounds kind of weird, but let me explain it. All the great catalogs do this. J. Peterman, Land's End, all of those do it. And for rare and expensive items, that's really when this technique works the best. Painting a mental picture that puts that rare item into the hands of your bidder works very well. And I've been told by people I've sold this technique to, by the way. I mean, this is one of my gems that I just don't like to give away. I've been told that painting a mental picture sounds too difficult. And let me tell you, it's so easy. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as somewhere in your auction, you somehow guide your bidder through the idea of actually holding the item. That's it. So here's one of the many things you can say. You can say, imagine how anxious you'll be when your postal carrier rings your doorbell and asks you to sign for a box that you know contains precious black pearl necklaces. Once you close that door, you'll take your pearl box to the nearest table and carefully unwrap it so as to get a peek inside of your new black pearls that you've wanted for so long. There they are, beautiful, in your box, but just imagine how they'll look around your neck.
How do you do it with your rare books?
Okay, I don't go that overboard, okay? That type of talk is something I would say for something really special. For my books, here's what I say. Imagine how anxious you'll be to get this rare book whenever the postal carrier rings the doorbell, or even something very simple like when you open this package, you will see your book has not only a mint condition dust jacket, but inside the author has signed his or her name in it. So I just want to say briefly, even one sentence I want to start with, when you open the box or when you hold this book, or actually a lot of times we sell on consignment for people who hire us to sell their items on eBay. And if we're selling clothing, we'll say, as you feel the cloth, as you feel the corduroy pants, this will be the softest corduroy you've ever felt. And all of that's kind of borrowing from the Land's End technique of making your buyer picture he or she actually feeling the material. You want that picture, and here's what you're doing. You are, for a brief moment in time, creating ownership. That potential bidder actually owns the item for that split second that he or she is there opening the box or lifting the material or feeling the pearl necklace or whatever. And this painting of a mental picture, it comes from a couple of fields not really related to selling, but they're used a lot in selling. One is called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. You might have heard of that. There's also another called psycho-cybernetics. If you knew me, you'd know that psychobabble types of things are the last things I really ever like to promote. But these two topics, NLP, it does sound kind of new agey, but neuro-linguistic programming and psycho-cybernetics, in spite of their weird names, were both developed separately, but they overlap in many ways. And one of the things that they really stress is the importance of painting a mental picture. And by doing that, you put a different result in a person's hands. if the person has some sort of anxiety that he or she suffers from or needs help focusing on a job, you give them exercises that actually paints a picture of them actually overcoming this in different steps. And so we can use this in selling to temporarily transfer ownership of this item. That is so dramatic. That is so important to do. And you can do it with anything. If I have a rare book buyer who's stodgy and only wants the facts, ma'am, just the facts, I'll still try to get in there something about just wait until you see this book. Even that is showing that buyer that he or she is going to actually, with his own eyes, see that book in their own home. And that is so dramatically important.
That's great. Do some people consider these advanced selling techniques coercive?
Maybe some people consider them coercive, but those people are wrong. If you feel that that's a little more than coercion in your auctions, you really may not understand your job. I don't mean this in a bad way. Well, first of all, you have to have confidence in what you sell. Otherwise, don't sell it. You have to be convinced that everything you say is accurate and truthful. It's okay if you hype up certain things, but that hype had better be accurate. It better have some truth to it. Don't waste these precious gifts like the mental picture technique on an item if you just don't believe in it, because it doesn't make any sense. You're wasting a gift. Your bidders will know you aren't thrilled about what you're selling. Just stick to a basic description and hope for the best, or even better, don't sell something until you're really ready to sell it. And only when you're convinced that an item is worth selling, only then that you are convinced that you're not overcharging on shipping, that you can confidently tell the complete truth about the item, even if it has some places that are broken on it or have some flaws. Only when you're ready to tell the complete truth, then you're really ready to sell it. And if you really believe that someone can benefit from your item, it's your obligation to sell that item. It's your obligation to convince bidders that they need to place a bid. You need to sell it with all your might. And it doesn't matter if it's a broken coffee pot. If you have an old Mr. Coffee Maker from the 1980s that you couldn't sell for 50 cents at your last garage sale because it doesn't heat up anymore, I promise you someone on earth still uses that identical coffee pot, and they've recently broken the carafe on it. The glass is broken. All they need is that handle on that pot or something, and they miss their morning Mr. Coffee, and they'll bid on it. I mean, somewhere in the world, someone probably wants this thing. And it is your obligation, once you're convinced someone can use it and that you're not taking advantage of them, you must call to action. You must be ruthless. And I don't mean you should be a ruthless person. I do mean you should be a ruthless seller. If you really care about your buyers, and if you're telling the strict truth, you owe it to your buyer to do everything possible to convince that buyer to take action and to buy your product.
How about the guarantee? How do you use guarantees to increase your sales?
Guarantees are one of the drawbacks of eBay. This is one area that the direct marketers are correct. eBay does not do enough for the guarantees. eBay recently rolled out a big guarantee. I say recently now. Actually, it's been a year or two or more, but they started allowing you to put guarantees on auctions. And at first, they only allowed you to have a 3-day, 5-day, and 7-day guarantee. So if someone didn't like your item, they needed to ship it back in 3 days or 5 days or 7 days. And you click whether you want to pay return shipping or not. You click whether you'll give a full return or maybe an 80% return with a restocking fee. Well, what direct marketers know is that the longer the period you give someone to return something, the far less likely it is they'll ever return it. I like to give people a year to return something. Fortunately, eBay got slightly better at that, and they finally allowed us to click 30-day guarantee, which is better than a 7-day guarantee. Because again, whether it logically makes sense or not, the longer a guarantee there is, the less likely a buyer will return it to you. And so every single item we sell, whether it's used, whether it's broken, and we sell broken things, we just make sure we tell the buyer where it's broken, whether it's mint condition, crystal, glass, I don't care what it is, we always check. We actually have it in our auction template. We don't even check it anymore. Everything has a 30-day money-back, postage-paid guaranteed. We will take back anything that we sell if that buyer's not happy.
Can you write in the description of the auction that you'll even go beyond eBay's guarantee and put in writing that you'll take it back within a year?
I have often done that. I have often done that for a year. One slight problem I have is that when I sell items on consignment for other people, like these books and such, it's my duty to pay these people as soon as possible because they're my clients, and I like to have my money in hand before I pay them, and they understand that.
For your consignment, I can understand
it's
that.
It's difficult for me to offer a one-year guarantee. However, on things that we sell of our own or things that we find and sell, I often will write in, forget the money-back guarantee, because a lot of people will go, well, you're not even going to guarantee it 30 days. I'll give you a year, 365 days. I don't care if it's midnight on the 365th day. I currently have an ebook up for sale on eBay and eBay auctions, and I actually say, I don't care if it's midnight on the 365th day. If you don't want this book, I will buy it back from you. And so I prefer to give much longer, but offer the 30-day money-back guarantee. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, then qualify it this way. You can put this at the bottom of every auction. If I have misrepresented this item in any way, if it has a flaw that I did not see, did not take a picture of, or did not tell you about, then please let me know and I will be glad to refund your shipping, even your return shipping, and send this back to you. I think that's fair. Actually, I think you have an obligation to do that, or else you're not treating your buyers in an ethical way. Will some buyers take advantage of that and they have buyer's remorse and they don't want your item when they get it? Maybe some will. We've had a couple of people return things, write us and say they don't want something, but it's always been because they didn't like something about it that maybe I didn't describe well enough. Even if I didn't put that, if I don't describe this well enough, whatever reason, I'm going to allow them to return it. I do want to say that I recently sold some extremely rare comic books from the 1940s, Human Torch and old rare Marvel comic books. They went for about $250 a piece. And I was very concerned about those being returned, swapped for one that wasn't in the same condition. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Return merchandise fraud.
Return fraud. And it really did concern me. And that's odd because I never worry about that sort of thing, no matter what we sell. But there was something about these. And as a kid, I used to collect comics, and I actually had a pretty good collection. So I know the value of these. And I don't know, that kind of bothered me. I made sure that our pictures were crystal clear. But even then, pictures of the comic book cover, they could take the cover off and put it on a comic book that was missing pages of the same issue and send it back and say, this thing is missing pages. And they couldn't see the mark, and I couldn't see the mark, but under the UV light, you could see it. And we do this on the last page, the first page, and the middle where the fold is. So that way we could make sure at the least that our first page, the last two pages, and the center page were what we sent if they returned them. You know, all that was for naught because we never had the problem. But if we had, that would allow me to prove that that wasn't the comic that I sent them.
That's the end of part two. Please continue to part three.